Welcome back to the At Leisure Podcast. This is a show about sports, video games, movies, and just basically things we do with our leisure time. We are back, and yes, it is because Tech finally got a win, and we can bear talking about football again. I'm joined by returning guest Brady. You ready to get this thing going?
Yeah, let's get started.
Yeah, so we might as well start the conversation with our team. And I'll put timestamps so you can skip this if you just don't care about Texas Tech very much. But honestly, you can stay if you want to hear some misery. I mean, what a disappointing start to the season, dude.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when we did our Tech recap, I had us going pretty smoothly to this point. I expected a loss to Oregon, but a loss to Wyoming was pretty tough one to swallow to start the season. It kind of helped that they played Texas close till the fourth quarter, but it's kind of... I don't know, just frustrating.
Still Wyoming. Yeah. We had so much momentum in the program, and then it's like you lose to a Mountain West team on your first game. It's just like, oh my gosh, are we even – we're just all talk. Watching that game, you're like, okay, our D-line was highly overrated by the insiders coming into the season. Our O-line, not improved. We gave up 3 sacks and had constant pressure in Shuck's face. And then with the offense starting – well, honestly, the game started amazing, going up 17-0.
Yeah, no, I was like, okay, this is where we're back.
We're right legit.
Where we ended. This was awesome. And then I don't really know what happened. It just...
The offense got out of sync. I mean, Shuck looked a second slow because he was constantly getting pressured. And I mean, it was just, it was tough.
Yeah. You know, for a guy that I accidentally said could be Big 12 player of the year, even though I meant newcomer, Steve Linton, where you at, man?
Invisible. Through 3 games, invisible.
Our defensive line, I mean, I think they got a little better as the games went on, but against Wyoming, you should really be showcasing what you got. I mean, what are we doing out there?
We've done okay against the run all season, but it's just like, if you don't get pressure on the quarterback, that's half
to do anything.
Yeah.
You're already playing the hardest position. If you can't pressure the quarterback, you can't do that much.
Yeah, and it just took the juice out of that Oregon game, even though you went and you said the atmosphere was electric. Just, I would have been so hyped for it all week, but going into it, I was just kind of dreading it, honestly. I was like, we're about to get stomped. We can't beat Wyoming. Oregon's going to run up and down the field on us. Luckily, we competed, and we looked kind of like the team I expected, honestly, coming into the season.
Yeah, I would say while the juice might have been a little down compared to what it could have been. I think everyone's just excited to have football back around. A week one loss is tough, but you got a big chance to prove yourself this next week. And Oregon came to town, and we had our not quite new stadium. It's still being fixed up in the end zone, but our pretty new and improved stadium we got going. And I think people were just happy to be there. And then we played really great. I mean, we had every chance to win that game. We were up 9 in the fourth quarter, and sure enough, the guy that should have the most experience on the team just turning the ball over left and right, killing all the momentum. It was tough to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it literally felt like Shuck's turnovers doomed us, and it's tough to put it on one guy, but we definitely did enough to win. I would say my other critique might be just run the ball with Taj some more. Like Brooks, every time he touches the ball, it seems like he was doing good things, but he only got the ball like 6 times that whole game running. So maybe give him the ball more. But I mean, you really couldn't criticize much other than just the turnovers, and that was the difference. Like we were, what was it, -4, -3 in the turnover margin, and we still could have won. We had a drive to win it. So yeah. It was tough, but also it was more encouraging than if we'd have just gone out there and got our butts kicked again. So we're 0-2 at that point, and it's sad, but also it's like we're still better than I think our record. And then finally got a win with Tarleton State. Not really much to say about that other than, I don't know, obviously you can tell by our demeanor, but I think Barron just looks like the better quarterback between the two.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for looking comfortable regardless of who you're playing. Tyler Shuck, he played okay against Tarleton State, but I mean, it's Tarleton State. Like, come on, get out there and show us why you deserve that job. And I don't think he did anything to make anyone feel confident that, yeah, he should be our starting quarterback going against West Virginia. And I'm not saying West Virginia is top of the Big 12, but
it's not a piece of cake. I mean, we're going to go there.
It's not Tarleton State. So,
yeah. I mean, even the ESPN Plus announcers, who I always assume have never watched a Tech football game, were just talking about how Shuck wasn't very impressive to them. And they were like, really, we needed to see more from Shuck for us to say that he deserves a job over Barron, you know? And it's just kind of, that's just kind of how the general fan sentiment is right now. And it sucks because it's like, it feels like Shuck is, he's a good enough quarterback. Like, he can win Big 12 games, but we just know what we have in him. And we've already lost two big games with him at quarterback. Feels like at this point we might as well switch. But, you know, Joey has earned the right to make this kind of decision. You know, I think already he's earned the right. And if he wants to be loyal to Shuck, then we'll just ride or die with him. But he's the coach.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really want to question Joey, but this is where I think being a high school coach is different than being a college coach. At high school, you're going to, more than likely, you're going to have that guy and you're going to ride with him because you know he's your best guy. But at college, you got four stars behind your starter. Like, these guys, they're brought here to do something, and I don't know, man.
He's just loyal, man. He promised Shuck that he'd get the starting job once he earned it. He got it, and he said, hey, we're riding with you, you know? And obviously, he doesn't feel like he's done enough to lose the job. So, like I said, I trust that the coach knows what's better. You know, it's like us as fans, we're not in every practice. We're not around the team. It just, with our eyes, it just looks like it should be Barron. So,
yeah. I do think there's such thing as a game time player versus a practice player.
Yeah.
And you can win the job in practice, but you got to go out there and perform in game. I mean, it's a totally different feeling whenever you're running plays against your own defense and you make a mistake and you're like, well, to be fair, they kind of know what's coming, versus you go out there against a real team and it's, you're making mistakes. And I mean, that's just, that's on you at that point. I'll cut him some slack. I think we should run the ball more with Taj Brooks as well. And I think that might help open up the field for him. But,
and I think also cut him some slack in the sense of I've been not very impressed with our skill players right now, other than Taj, especially like our receivers. I feel like we have no separation, you know? There's no explosive runs. I mean, it's just catch the ball, get tackled. And if the ball is not right on the money, even at times they're dropping it when it's right on the money, you know? Against Tarleton, I mean, even in all these games, I think there's been some pretty key drops by some of our best skill players. So they really need to step up and help out whoever's playing quarterback. Not a lot of explosive plays happening.
When Barron came in, we saw Miles Price make an insane catch. And it's like the pass was perfect. It probably could have been a little more in front of him instead of behind him. But he made a just incredible catch out of nowhere. I don't know. I agree. There's not much separation. There's a lot to be said. I guess we'll have to wait for this West Virginia game to see what Tyler Shuck's got again, because Joey's riding with him. So,
yep.
No point.
Well, moving on, though. College football's still great. And it was so awesome just to sit down and watch a bunch of games. And I say we just talk about some of our favorite games so far in the first 3 weeks, since we haven't really gotten to cover them because we've been so sad about the Tech losses. We can just go through each week and talk about some of the big games. I mean, there was the Utah-Florida game right off the bat. That was a good time. Did you watch any of that game?
I caught a little bit of it, but I didn't really get to see if Utah looked like they commanded the game, if Florida looked like they gave it away. What did you see out of it?
Utah definitely commanded the game. So Florida gets the ball first. Utah stops them. Utah gets the ball with their backup quarterback in. Because Cam Rising's hurt. And first play of the game, the dude throws a 60-yard bomb for a touchdown. And the place just goes nuts. And I'm just like, oh, gave me chills. You know, it was like, oh, it's back. Yeah. You know, and that stadium was rocking. And from then on, it was kind of just Utah's defense looking dominant. Like, Florida's offense couldn't get anything going. And they were talking about Mertz, I think it's his name, Graham Mertz, coming from Wisconsin, going to Florida. And they were, you know, talking him up like, hey, he's going to have a better year and stuff. But he just didn't look that great against Florida, Utah. They had him confused, and they were getting pressure in the backfield. So that game, Utah just really looked better. And they have two backup quarterbacks that they're riding with. Barnes and Johnson, that might not be the right names, but one is obviously more of your traditional pocket passer. And then you have the other one who's like the athletic, occasionally throw. And so between those two, they've been able to make up for not having Cam Rising. But that was a fun game. And honestly, it wasn't really that close. So I would switch it over to the Minnesota-Nebraska game at the same time that was going on at the same time. And man, that game was actually really boring. That's just a classic Big Ten game, man. It was not much happening until the end of the game when Minnesota had a receiver make an incredible catch to basically win the game. I'm sure you saw that.
Yes, I did. It's kind of funny flipping from a fun game that's not very close to a boring game that is close.
Yeah. But it was still fun because the atmosphere in both games, like Utah had the better atmosphere for sure, but both atmospheres were crazy because, like you said, people are just excited to be back. And if the game is even relatively close, or if you're the home team is just putting it on them, you know, they're just, people are going crazy and it's just a lot of fun.
For sure. It looks like Nebraska's quarterback really struggled. I've heard a few things about that.
Yeah, he has struggled so far. Man, Nebraska, it's where you go to as a quarterback to just kill your career.
Yeah, not much goes good for quarterbacks there.
Maybe I'm rooting for Matt Rhule a little bit, just to turn it around because I like him, but he's got some work ahead of him.
Hey, I think he could do it. He did a great job at Baylor. Some people are college coaches and not NFL coaches, you know?
We'll see if he just had a great situation in Baylor or if he's actually a tremendous coach. But and then the big game for week one ended up being Colorado versus TCU. And that game was back and forth, explosive plays. And it really opened up. I mean, it started, the hype train was there, but the hype train just took off for Colorado after this game.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't want to watch a guy play both ways of the ball? You get an interception and then you go score a touchdown. I mean, dude's crazy. I don't know if he actually had a touchdown that game, but I know that he had some key catches and some moments. And I mean, that's just incredible to play over 100 snaps in a game. And I already said, I think cornerback is probably the hardest position on the field. And then you're flipping around and playing receiver. That's just incredible.
It's fun to watch. And I honestly think had he not got hurt, that we'll get to that. But had he not got hurt, you know, he's going to be up there for Heisman contention.
But
man, is it just fun to watch Deion? Everything that man does turns to gold right now. He's just on fire.
That guy, talk about just on top of the world. I mean, some guy makes fun of him wearing sunglasses and he makes $1.2 million off of that. I mean, who would have thought that you get made fun of? Oh, thanks for making me $1 million off my sunglasses.
Like, he's in every commercial.
Who else is that going to happen to?
Yeah. He's coaching his sons. They're winning. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Have you heard that he has a ranking for his kids, though? He ranks his kids on who's his favorite to his least favorite. Shiloh Sanders was his least favorite son or kid until that last game. He said that he jumped a few kids in that last game.
Is he joking?
No, he's like, I don't think anyone else is being real. Like, we all have favorites. Y'all just don't want to be real with them. And I was just like, this is...
Holy crap.
Crazy stuff.
That is crazy. Seem, like,
fine with it. I mean, they make jokes about it, too. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Dang. That's kind of ruthless.
It's crazy stuff.
I mean, I guess we always make the joke that you're the favorite as the youngest. So maybe there's some truth to it after all. Maybe it's not just a joke. We're just coping.
Yeah.
Man. What other games have? There was a... You want to talk about this week one OU blowout?
Yeah, dude. I wanted to talk about this just because I have never seen a coach on the brink of crying because of how bad his team is getting beat. I mean, I understand, like, you're losing 73-0. That's got to suck. But, I mean, you can't be looking at just squatting down, like, tears welling up in your eyes, having to have a player come pick you up and console you during the game. Like, that's tough. I was always told you can't cry on the football field, and definitely not in that way. I'll cut you some slack on an injury, but that is tough. I've never seen that.
73-0. I mean, I don't know. It might make me cry. I'm not going to lie.
The best way I'm going to put it is maybe he felt guilty for putting his players through that, but outside of that, like,
yeah,
I'm not gonna be able to justify crying about losing. Like, you just gotta look at it as an opportunity to still execute your plays and get better for your next
week. Well, next week we had week two. The Friday game was Kansas versus Illinois. I watched that whole game, and man, it's fun to just watch Daniels play football. The quarterback for Kansas. I hope he can stay healthy this year because he's good, man. He's fun to watch. And Kansas being good is just weird. It's just weird to watch. I mean, I don't think they're going to win the Big 12 or anything, but they're dangerous. They're going to win some games, and it's also fun to just watch Brett Bielema get beat again and again by the Big 12 after talking so much smack about it.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Kansas actually competing in football, but, you know, it's got to be a good thing. It's always fun to have the, I think they're statistically, like record-wise, literally the worst FCS team. If not, they're pretty far down there. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of fun. You got to cheer for an underdog, and Kansas is the definition of an underdog. And if they can have a quarterback just carry them to some victories, that's a good time to see. Just please don't beat Tech.
Yeah, as I say, I hope they can just beat their rival Texas, and I'll be happy.
Get UT again.
Then a couple other good games. We had the Washington State versus Wisconsin game. Washington State is fighting to make a case for staying alive in the whole realignment situation. They got a good quarterback there, Ward, and honestly, Wisconsin is perennially overrated, so it was good to see them lose early and give Washington State some hype.
Yeah, man. I think it's personal for Washington State. They want to stick around. I can't imagine if my team was about to be, essentially relegated to group of five. Like, they're taking it personal, and I really hope that they can make a statement out there in the Pac-12.
Me too. I mean, it's a good start for them. And then you had the UT-Bama game. I think Quinn Ewers just wants to play Bama every week because that dude, he always steps it up against Bama. Like last year, he was killing it before he got hurt. And then this year, that's the best he's ever looked.
Yeah. You have some merit to now say that Texas is back, but they might only be back if they can play Bama every week. I saw Quinn Ewers, he was playing against Wyoming, and maybe he's the reason I thought that Wyoming was actually an okay loss because the dude had like 100 passing yards.
84 in the fourth, I think.
And 60 of those, I think, came from a screen to Worthy, who just outran everybody on their team because he's a freak athlete. I don't know if that's necessarily good job, Quinn Ewers. You made a great pass there. It's more just you got a stud athlete, get him the ball. There's something to be said for doing that. You
got
to do it.
They've got him at UT. That's what sucks is they got him.
I would bet to say that Worthy's not going to be able to dust everyone in the Big 12, but he is definitely gonna have his games, and we'll see.
Very true. And we'll touch on Bama later because they're a whole another can of worms right now.
Yeah, making it even more questionable if UT's back. We'll see.
Or if Bama's down, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then going into week three, we had the West Virginia Pitt game, and I was happy for our West Virginia fan, Alan, who was on the podcast talking about his Mountaineers. It was a big win for them, and Neil Brown is still coaching, so good for him. And I mean, honestly, the atmosphere looked awesome, and that game was kind of looking like a Big Ten game. It was kind of ugly, not a lot of anything other than running, but we're going to have to watch out for Donaldson next week because they got a stud at running back, I think. I really like watching him run.
Absolutely. I think Neil Brown might have bought himself another losing season with that. As long as he can get a couple wins, you know. I think that win against Pitt is going to buy him another year. But yeah, that was fun to see. Something that's so fun about college football is it was a great atmosphere. Like West Virginia, they're not projected to be good. Who cares? They want to go watch their team play, and it looked like a good time if you saw any of their videos of the environment. I can't really say what they were chanting, but in the Sweet Caroline song, they roast Pitt in it, and it's pretty cool to see.
Having a whole stadium just chant, just belt that song out after beating Pitt. It's just college football. It's just like we sat and watched NFL tonight, and we watched it all Sunday, and NFL's great, but there's just nothing like that. There's just nothing. It's so fun. Man, I loved it. Even though I'm not a West Virginia fan, I felt like one for a second there.
Yeah, you're going to hate me for saying this, but I think the only other environment that really compares is like soccer games over in the England area.
Yeah.
In those environments. That the game itself looks pretty boring, but the crowd looks like a great time.
Yeah, the crowd does look hyped for sure.
That's what I say is our version of their football soccer game over there. College football is ours.
Yeah. Then we had the Missouri K-State game. That also is a rivalry that I didn't really know that much about, but they don't like each other, and Missouri finally came out on top. K-State has kind of run that for a while, and boy, they had many opportunities to win that game, but Missouri hitting a 61-yard field goal to win it, you kind of have to just tip your cap to that kicker because
Hey, thicker the kicker.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude, the kicker. That's right.
That dude, he put on for the city. That was awesome. I mean, obviously I was cheering for Kansas State, but I'm always gonna be happy for a kicker who makes a game winning kick, because that's fun, and if you miss it, somehow you get the blame for the whole game. So
yeah. I don't think people would have blamed him though for a 61 yarder.
No, probably not, but so many
he's
times
a legend now. He is a legend now. People will remember him forever.
Yep, he's the guy.
And I guess let's wrap it up with the Colorado State game that had no business being as good as it was. And I stayed up entirely too late watching that thing. What a good game. What a crazy game, dude.
Dude, I'm going to say, I think Colorado State's coach had a great game plan. And I think his game plan was just make it ugly. And it got ugly quick. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with his methods. I hope they didn't plan to take out Travis Hunter, but it was a pretty cheap shot there. But he just kind of, I think their goal was to just rattle them, and I think they were rattled. They might not have always showed it on the field, but they had Sanders all out of sync.
Dude wasn't used to pressure.
I was going to say, he's been playing so well, and then he's getting sacked and pressured every single play, and he doesn't know if he should run or throw the ball. I thought it was an impressive job by the coach, even if I didn't necessarily agree with his methods.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy, too, because they just ran. How many times did Colorado State just run those two crossing slant routes? And they just dropped it off to them every time. And they'd get a first down almost every time. It was crazy. It was crazy, too, because I was like, does Colorado State have some dudes? Like, watching that game, they had the tight end and that number 14 receiver. And I was like, I'd be happy to have those guys at Tech. You know, like they were, they looked good.
Horton was the guy, was the number 14. And he was so fast and so shifty. I mean,
and kind of tall. I mean,
he had a good build. I would not be surprised if we see him playing on Sundays. I mean, that was just, he had the intangibles anyways. He's going to maybe have to add to that route tree. I don't know if Mesh is going to get it done all the time.
And it was cool just to see them have a platform too, even though the game was just dirty. Like, it just felt like, I mean, Sanders was like trying to poke out some dude's eyes, and, you know, there was the cheap shot, and man, Colorado State has so many personal foul penalties. And
like I said, I think that was part of their plan. But, you know, it got to overtime, and that's what ended up biting them in the butt. They finally, you can't do that. No, you got them that far. That's when you just got to go play solid football and forget about the dirtiness of the play. And I think they ended up losing because of that. Number 8, I think, was their good rusher, Kamara, and he made two just crucial dumb mistakes penalties at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just cost what killed him was playing prevent on that final drive. When you're winning, just run your defense that's working. Like, you'd had them all out of sorts the whole game, but then in the last minute, they're going to play that cover 2 prevent and just got toasted. And, man, they were up 2 possessions with, like, less than, I guess, what, like 6 minutes? I don't know, something like that. And they blew it, but it was a good game. It was so entertaining. Colorado with Prime right now is just such an entertaining watch that I don't know if I'm rooting for him anymore or if I'm just watching to see what's going to happen next. Like, just it's a good obvious big story for the season going so far.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm going to root for him just because if he can take them to the top, I'd love to see a new team at the top. But it's also just fun. I mean, he's a great personality and one of the best athletes to ever do it. So fun to see.
Yeah, and he's not been a super surprise. He's been a bit of a surprise. Like, I knew he was turning it around there, but how quickly he's done it has been pretty crazy. And might not spell good things for the portal, but you don't want your players talking to Dion after the game, that's for sure. Be like, no, we're not shaking hands this time. Yeah. I don't want you recruiting. He's needing safety help, and you see him over there next to the opponent's safety. He's like, hey, man.
I'd have to say I hope that he can like make that more common for NFL players that were real good. I'd love to see them come back and coach and give back to the game in that way.
All right, what are some big surprises heading into conference play? Like, what are things that have happened so far that have been surprising to you?
Yeah, So I would say Duke might be good. That could be a that could be a fun one to watch there. Obviously, Clemson hasn't looked as good as what they have been known for with Dabo there, but I mean, they beat them pretty soundly. Then their other two games, they won in a pretty commanding way. I don't think we'll really know if they are for real or not until they play Notre Dame week 5. I think that's a big game for them right there, and I'm excited to see. I'm always happy to see a new team try to rise to the top of their conference. Everyone knows Duke for basketball, so maybe they can get some football success.
Yeah, it's funny you say like that's the one that you think of is the most surprising thing, which it is a surprise. But I kind of felt like they were trending in the right direction just because I'm around a bunch of A&M fans, and Mike Elko is their head coach, and I've just heard nothing but good things about him because he's from A&M. And if Jimbo doesn't turn it around this year, I know he's going to be on a lot of people's list of who they want to replace him.
Yeah, so I mean, that's maybe the Duke being good is maybe the flip side of Clemson looking bad. So
yeah, that's the surprise.
I was going to say those are the two that one of those two is going to be the surprise. Either Clemson is bad and that's surprising, or Duke is good and that's surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Clemson, they just haven't looked like themselves. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's weird because it's like Klubnik was such a high recruit, but he looks like he's regressing a little bit even from last year. We think we have a problem with Shuck, but at least he's not the guy that we didn't run someone else out of town to get Shuck at the starting position. You know, it's like, It's like, goodness, DJ is popping off at Oregon State and Klubnik is regressing, you know, so it's hard to keep things going. And Clemson wasn't quite a dynasty, but they had something rolling there and it looks like it might be on its last legs.
Yeah, I would say the only thing I would question is, with the Klubnik thing, is it their offensive line? If DJ was able to leave and now he's making Oregon State look really good, I mean, maybe they need to revamp that O-line, because, I mean, that's as big a thing as having a good quarterback.
I think we'll know more as the season goes on, obviously. But talking about dynasties, we've hinted at it a few times, but Alabama losing to Texas and just overall looking kind of terrible, bad QB play, barely beating USF. Not seeing this kind of play from Alabama in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not a good look, but why are they going to USF?
yeah. Why are we going to Wyoming, man? I don't get
exactly. Like, what is that? I mean, it brings you some money, but you have a home game. You're going to make money off of that game anyways. I mean, you're just putting yourself out there to get upset. Like, that's just, I don't know. I don't understand scheduling sometimes.
I like that. I mean, I like that we're not afraid to do it, and I applaud them for going. I mean, Alabama should not be afraid of going to USF. You know, they should not be afraid of that. So it's just when you're struggling and then you go on the road and you're making a change of quarterback. And I mean, no matter who's at quarterback right now for Alabama, they just don't look very good. I mean, Buckner looked awful, like barely D1 material. I know. He probably just had a bad – it almost looked like the team didn't want him at quarterback either, though. It was just a really weird – it's just weird over there. They don't know how to handle not being the best, it seems like. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know if I'd bury him yet just because there's a lot of parity, it seems like, right now. And so they could win their division still, I think.
I think what I would say about going on the road is if you're going to schedule a non-conference game on the road – it's whenever you know what your team is. I don't think, like, Alabama had their...
They schedule these so far in advance, though.
I guess you're right. You're right. Yeah, I mean, it's just tough because you have questions on your team. You don't really want to go address those at another team's place.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But, again, you just wouldn't think that they'd be in that situation. And, like, when Tech scheduled Wyoming was terrible. But now they're good. I mean, they're good. Who knows what they are, but they're they're at least a decent program now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of just, you don't know, you're scheduling so far out in advance, you don't know what's going to happen. But to schedule away games is just, you're playing with fire for sure. I think another big thing for me is just how big of a disaster the Big 12 has been. The worst case scenario is looking like it's going to be an all SEC Big 12 championship this year. I hope not. And it's so early, so things can change, but man, Texas and OU are the only conference teams ranked going into our conference play, and that just hurts.
Yeah, not what you want to see. Definitely not. But like you said, there's a lot of games left. The Big 12 might be down right now, but Texas and OU, they got to go places and they still got to perform. It's college football. Anything could happen. I mean, you don't have to be the better team to win a game. That's for sure. But I don't know. I agree. It's looking a little grim for us all right now.
It's looking bad. We went 6-6 against Power 5 teams, but have horrible losses to Group of 5 schools. Baylor losing to Texas State. Us losing to Wyoming, us as in Texas Tech. Houston losing to Rice. Cincinnati losing to Ohio. Oh, no. Iowa State lost to Ohio. Cincinnati lost to Miami, Ohio. And then Oklahoma State losing to South Alabama. And not just losing, but looking like the worst team. Like getting absolutely trounced.
Yeah, that was tough. Talk about QB problems. Oklahoma State, they got to figure something out.
I was cheering for
Alan Bowman, but they got three guys that cannot throw the ball right now, and that's tough to see.
Yeah, I don't think they have a solution there. I mean, if I'm Mike Gundy, I just play my son. You don't get a chance for doing that very often, so you might as well just do it. You know, end it that way. Because I mean,
you say
not
that, but
all three of them look bad.
Gundy's not Coach Gundy. They're going to start calling for his head over there. So you got to be careful putting your son in that kind of.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess so. You're right. I don't know what – I think that's what I'd do, though. I mean, if you're going to lose, you might as well lose letting your son play and seeing how far y'all can go together.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely keep giving him chances, so.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing because I think right now he's looked the best. That's not saying much, though.
Yeah, it's really not.
I mean, they are a shell of themselves right now. Them, Baylor, and Iowa State, they just all look so bad.
Yeah, and I mean, Iowa State, to be fair, at least they have a reason to be looking bad. They had all those people getting suspended for gambling, so at least they have a reason. Oklahoma State and Baylor, I don't know. That's just, you got to figure something out, and it's going to be a long season if you don't.
It sucks, too, as a Texas Tech fan, because it's like, this would be the year I would love to play Oklahoma State and Iowa State, just yeah. To have those check marks on the win column. But you know, that's just how it shook out this year. Another conference though that's struggling that might be even a bigger surprise is the SEC. I mean, they just had their weakest non-conference in a long time. They went 5-7 against Power 5 schools. Missouri's win over Kansas State was their best win, and their other wins were over Arizona, Georgia Tech, Cal, and Virginia, who we already talked about was really bad. So it's not like they beat good teams when they were beating the Power 5 schools. So that's been really interesting to see. And I think that adds to the feeling of parity because the SEC for a while has been kind of just thought of as the class. And so seeing them lose to, honestly, the Pac-12 and and the rest of the conferences. But the Pac-12, man, going out on top, they said, we might be dying, but we're dying guns a-blazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive what they're doing right now. Obviously, we all knew USC was going to be good. They got the Heisman favorite with Caleb Williams. We knew, well, we felt like Colorado was going to be good with Deion there. We didn't necessarily know that yet. We knew Oregon was going to be good. But, I mean, they're just all just showing out. They want it, and they're giving it to everyone right now. I don't know what else to say about that.
I mean, they've got eight ranked schools right now, and they went 7-3 against Power 5 teams. And as a conference, they have the top five passing offenses in all of the nation with Washington number one, Colorado number two, Washington State number three, USC number four, and Oregon number five. That's insane. that's so insane. So they're good. It's a stacked conference, and I think that they deserve – I already think that they deserve to have a playoff team. You know, it's like they really need to be represented this year. Whoever it is that comes out of the pack should get a shot at the championship, and that's just not something they've had in a long time.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see. I mean, talk about new faces at the top. Other than Oregon, they're all pretty much new. I mean, USC traditionally is not new, but they've been down for a while and they've been having some good seasons, but nothing to put them in the playoffs yet. So always fun.
They
to
look
see
like
the playoff teams.
Yeah, they look like every Lincoln Riley coach team I've ever seen.
I was about to say, they are just Lincoln Riley's team, classic OU, makes it to the playoffs, and then their defense gets obliterated, and their offense is still good.
Yep. All right. Well, any other things you want to review?
I think that's pretty much it for the surprises. We got a long season ahead of us, so I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Now we get into like the real games. Like these games have been fun, but it's going to be good matchups all the time, 24/7, every Saturday. So we might as well just jump into the games we're wanting to see in the next week coming up.
Yeah, so I guess let's just start with the Pac-12. They're the conference on top right now. So obviously a headlining game right now will be Colorado versus Oregon. I'm excited for that game. I think Deion's going to keep doing his thing. And Oregon looked a little bit suspectable. Suspect. Their secondary looked a little suspect against Texas Tech's offense. If there's one thing I felt like we had them beat on, it was if we were going deep, they were just having to just tackle our receivers because we had them beat there.
Yeah.
So I think Colorado could really take advantage of that. Then you have UCLA versus Utah. That should be a fun game to watch. And then Oregon State versus Washington State. The battle of not being relegated to the group of five schools. That'll be a fun game to watch. They got some good talent on the field there.
Yeah, I think those are good highlights for sure. I'm interested to see what UCLA is because I feel like they haven't really played anyone yet, but Utah is still kind of like reeling with all their injuries. And then we got the SEC, Bama versus Ole Miss. Boy, I never expect Ole Miss to win this game, but what do you think? Who do you have winning that one?
I think I got to go with Ole Miss right now. That's probably going to be a popular pick after the last 2 weeks for Bama. It's hard to pick a team that you don't even know who's going to start at quarterback for. But it's also hard to pick against Nick Saban. So I think it'll be a good game and interesting to see how it plays out for Bama.
Yeah, I think I still got to pick Bama because Lane Kiffin, I just don't see him beating Saban. But
if there's ever a time to do it.
This is it, yep. Then LSU, Arkansas, that'll be a good game. You've got Missouri, Memphis. That's the game, man, you want to watch?
I think it's a sleeper pick for the SEC. Missouri, they had their biggest win out there. Memphis is still undefeated. I don't know if you can necessarily say who Memphis has played is necessarily good competition. But let's see if Missouri's good old Missouri and they're going to go out and lose to a Memphis team. Or if they're going to keep stacking wins. I mean, their schedule's going to get a lot harder from here. But I think this could be a game to watch and see if Missouri's actually got a little something or if they just came out and beat K-State because K-State's a rival.
That's fair. And you got Big Ten, Ohio State playing Notre Dame. That'll be huge. Man, I really kind of hope Notre Dame wins that game.
That'll be probably competing with Colorado and Oregon for the biggest game of the weekend. I think those are two that you should try to watch if you can.
And then Penn State versus Iowa. Golly, that game will be boring to watch.
Big Ten, just because I say these are the games to watch doesn't mean you actually want to watch them. But they're supposed to be good teams regardless of if it's going to be fun to watch. So.
And you've got Michigan and Rutgers here.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan's just, they're, what are they, ranked 2 right now?
Yeah, I think so.
I was just trying to find games that have potential and, you know, Rutgers, maybe they can pull something out, put something on Michigan here. I don't think Michigan's really played anyone of note yet. And so I'm not necessarily, Rutgers is not of note, I agree. But they're a Power 5 team, and Michigan, if they go out there and roll them, then they're going to show. I mean, this is what they're supposed to do.
Well, I definitely agree with the next one you got here, ACC, the Florida State versus Clemson game. Clemson, obviously, like we talked about, has lost a little juice, but they're still ranked. And Florida State nearly lost to Boston College last week. So this game, both teams are kind of on edge. So I think it'll be a good one.
Florida State, they came out hot with an early win. And then it looked rough against Boston College. But that can be a little bit because of the weather. It was rainy, and sometimes those games can get ugly. And, you know, just crazy things can happen, especially with bad weather. So this will be a game to see and see if Clemson's got something or maybe Florida State just rolls them and looks right back to how they were before Boston College.
Yeah, and Boston College was doing that red bandana game, which I just love. That is such a cool story. about that dude going into the Twin Towers during 9/11 and saving people and just being a legend. Like, those people coming out being like, I don't know who saved me, but it was just a kid in a red bandana. And then him going down in the collapse and them honoring him every year. Like, I think that might have had something to do with how well they played, too. Like, that place always is charged for that game. I feel like I remember watching it nearly every season. It's a memorable game. So that was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
And then wrapping it up, Big 12 games to watch. You got BYU versus Kansas, which is, oddly enough, a game I'm super excited for because BYU looked really good against Arkansas and Kansas beat Illinois pretty soundly. So these are two teams already having a good win under their belt.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of a rough year for the Big 12 so far, but these are two teams that are looking to keep their undefeated season alive for as long as possible. So it'll be fun to see the battle out there.
Then you got OU versus Cincinnati. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, so this will be their first Big 12 game for Cincinnati. They got something to prove. OU is, they're looking good, but you know, you roll into Big 12 play, so time to show what you actually got.
I think OU's going to beat them by 28, but hopefully not. I hope it's a good game. And then last one you got is UCF versus K-State.
Yeah, I mean, UCF still undefeated right now. K-State looking to bounce back off a loss. Just looks like it could be a good matchup there.
Do you know if that one's at Central Florida or if it's at K-State?
I did not know off the top of my head, but
if it's UCF's first Big 12 game, K-State better watch out because that's gonna be bumping.
Looks like it's at K-State, so
okay.
They have the.
I think K-State will beat them then.
They probably will, but
yeah, they looked vulnerable against Missouri. But UCF's Rice Plumlee is hurt, so they don't have their starting quarterback. So
definitely hurts. But well, hey, some teams are calling for their backups. I've heard so.
No, fans don't do that. They're always happy with what they got. Man, I guess we can wrap it up here if you've got anything else. I'd just say, hey, Big 12 sucks right now, but we've secured our future. Even if we suck, we know that we're not collapsing, and that is something I genuinely am happy about.
Yeah,
like I don't have to worry all season about if this is our last season in the power schools. Kind of like Washington State and Oregon State are having to do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's huge.
Yeah, and there's so much football yet to happen. Like, that's just fun to think about of, like, all the games that are going to be between now and the next time we're talking. And, man, this conference can fix its rep. I mean, people are more easy to forgive early losses, and I think they take more stock in bowl games, even if they pretend they don't. So hopefully it can turn around and the conference can get strong again to kind of make a push toward the postseason. And then also I think we've seen a lot of like parity in college football this year already. So I'm excited for more of that. It almost feels like the top 10 teams could all beat each other. And that doesn't seem to happen very often these days. So pretty excited about that.
Even Georgia, the pride of the SEC, looked pretty questionable, pretty beatable against South Carolina there. So
who had lost to North Carolina already. So
I really hope there's parity, and I hope it's not two SEC teams in the playoffs again.
Anything else?
That's pretty much all I got.
Well, Tech got a verbal commit from Micah Hudson, the seventh best player in the nation. So if he actually follows through, it could be a changing point for the program, and that is good news. So we can end it on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you follow his Twitter account or his X account, whatever you want to refer to it as, he is already going to be a legend if he comes to Texas Tech, because that dude has been trolling UT since the moment that there was a hint of Texas Tech getting him. That dude, he had about a week where his profile picture was him and Sarkisian, and his like backdrop was him at the Texas visit wearing the Texas uniform, and then all of his likes were Texas Tech things, and he has just been...
He's playing the game.
He has been a joy to watch as a Texas Tech fan. And, like, at the end of the day, it was either entertainment for us and, oh, dang, he actually did commit to UT. Or it's like, man, he made them think he was actually going there, and now he's with us. So,
yeah.
It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Man, we could use him right now, honestly. We need that explosive player.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, thanks for hopping on, and we'll definitely be doing this throughout the season. I don't know if we'll do every week. We might do every 3 weeks or so like we've been doing. Unless just Tech gets on a roll and then we just want to talk. So that might happen too.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Like and subscribe, and we're back. So hopefully you can look out for more podcasts soon. So thank you all. Later. Merle said mama tried, but the prison still won. Your transgressions are mine as well. Anger grows in my bones if you could not tell. But I'll find comfort in company. Lord, forgive us, my boys and me. We're having an all-night revival. Some call the women and some will steal the Bible. For the sake